Network.
All right. We are live. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode. Wow. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of ET Network. I'm your host, Deadman. With me, as always, my brother, Mustard. And today's episode is brought to you by DJ's brand new branch of Femboy Hooters.
Nice.
That's right. Use code VTN.
New franchisee.
Yeah. New franchise. You have to go open it. Use code VTN for 20% off your first purchase.
Nice.
Anyways, so let's recap real quick. What did you watch today? What have you been watching lately?
I watched Insidious, The Red Door.
Lately, what you said was
it was good, but it was a cash grab. Yeah, it was good, but it was like, wait, guys, you guys want to make a shit ton of money real quick? You know, let's just rewrite the script of the first movie. Instead of a kid being in a coma, he's in college, which is basically the same thing.
Oh.
Anyways, yeah, that was a cash grab. What else? We watched Alien. We watched Alien Covenant, and we watched Prometheus. And then we watched Aliens. And then me and you watched Django Unchained. And then we watched Sweeney Todd last week. And then, what else? That's pretty much it. I haven't really been gaming. I've been, like, hunting. That's it.
Yeah, you've been playing Call of, what is it?
The Hunter Call of the Wild.
That one.
Yeah.
I don't get the outdoorsy games. I'm not.
But you like animal murder.
I mean, like in Red Dead, yeah.
It's the same thing.
No, it's not.
Hunting in Red Dead is almost identical to hunting in that game.
Except it's not.
But it is.
No.
You track a fucking animal, you spot it, you get the rating on it, and then you kill it. Like, how is that any different?
I'm a cowboy in Red Dead. All right, fuck you, pal. All
right, buddy. Whatever.
I'm a cowboy. Plus, like, Red Dead has way more than just hunting.
Well, no shit. It's a fucking... Oh, my God. Walmart has way more than just, like, groceries. Okay, buddy? I mean... like, no fucking shit. It's a fucking... It's Walmart, man.
I'm just saying.
No, I like hunting. It's fun. And I have yet to get to dig my teeth into the angler, which is a fishing game. But once I... It's because I just got a new resort for my hunting game. I got Australia, so I can hunt kangaroos. I can hunt crocodile and feral goats and foxes and pigs.
Feral goats? What's a feral goat?
You know those goats with, like, the long horns on the side like this, and they're, like, tiny? Like and they have all their hair grown, like their beard's grown out.
Metal goat.
Well, it's a goat. Like it's a feral goat. Like it's a wild fucking goat. So nobody is there to sit there and groom them or take their fur off, or nobody's gonna sit there and clip their horns. So yeah. I got a diamond feral goat the other day. It did. His horns are like huge, bro. His horns goes like out here. Like it's crazy.
I just love the idea of a feral goat.
Yeah.
They're goats.
Well, they're goats are sometimes on farms. That's not a feral goat. Anyways, they have feral pigs, too. They got foxes. They got Samba deer. They got Rusa deer. They got fallow deer and red deer and crocodiles.
And crocodiles.
And they have bantang. Which are like huge water buffalo.
Oh. Buffaloes are dangerous.
Yeah. Buffaloes. I got an albino bantang, bro. It's like a 1 in 6,000 drop, apparently.
Wow.
Yeah. I love that game. So I'm waiting to like get bored of this resort, Australia, and then I'm gonna move on to the angler and see what I can get cooking in that game. Because I gotta learn how to play it first, because like all the inventory and all that shit's weird, so yeah.
Well, it's fishing, you know, it's different from hunting, so whatever. Mm-hmm. I pretty much participated in everything you said, except I've been in some Call of Duty, and...
Oh, yeah, we did play COD for a while the other day.
And I also... Oh, I picked up a Ghost Recon Breakpoint.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Um I don't know. That one's weird. And I'm warming up to it.
Okay.
And it's because it's the other one. The other one, Wildlands, I think it was right. Kind of like it was more of a tactical shooter, right? Like, you have to treat it like a tactical shooter, because if you don't treat it like a tactical shooter and you treat it more like an arcade, you're gonna have a bad time. So this one, I'm like trying to figure out the feel of it, right? And I'm trying to figure out the feel. My chair is so not used to wooden floors.
Get it together, come on.
I know. So I'm trying to get a feel for this for the game, and so far I'm not picking up a straight vibe from it, so I'm having difficulties with it, but I'm still playing it little by little. Plus, it's hard to go from like the maxed out mega soldier that I was in Wildlands back to, you know, finding shit gear in fucking Breakpoint. But that's about
almost
it.
Like, it's a new game.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's new game, same premise. So
pretty much.
So I don't know. It's been weird. But yeah, you know, you saw Django Unchained for the first time, and what did you think of that movie?
It was good. It was really good. Well written, well acted, good shit.
And Sweeney Todd was another one that you were kind of surprised at just good. How brutal it was.
No, yeah, it was good. Very violent too, yeah, but I don't know. You already know my critique.
Yeah. We talked about the idea of Johnny being able not to sing, and I think it worked well. You know,
could have been better.
It could have been better. Absolutely, it could have been better. But you know, for what he is, he's not a singer. He's not a professional singer. He plays guitar.
They could have gotten a fucking professional singer, though.
I don't know. Considering how many like conventions that were breaking for that movie, I kind of feel like had they gone with the singer, it would have been awkward.
It would have been more Broadway.
Yeah, way more Broadway, less movie. You know what I mean?
I guess, but I don't know. Maybe it would have been a good thing.
You know? Maybe. Who knows? You know what I mean? Like, it's not for us to fucking say, but we can just offer our critique. So let's go ahead. In another universe, in another time. All right, so let me go ahead and run the intro. And so almost all of Hollywood is on strike right good. Now.
Welcome.
A lot of people are really bitter about this, and I don't know why. I don't know why, you know, there is this perception that everyone in Hollywood or everyone that works in Hollywood is rich or has a lot of money. You know what I mean? And it's just not fucking true. It's just not true at all. There's a lot of people that are struggling to make ends meet. There's a lot of, especially if you're not, if you're not in front of the camera, if you're any kind of crew, you're gonna be you're not gonna be making a fuck ton of money. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, writers don't get paid residuals, which is you know what I mean? Like, every time one of their episodes airs, they don't get paid residuals. Actors do. Sometimes producers do. Sometimes even directors do, but writers don't. Writers get paid one time, which is why they're trying to unionize, you know, the Screenwriters Guild and all that. And, you know, like, these folks have, I mean, in my opinion, they have a valid point. You know what I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, all these other people get residuals, directors, actors, producers, but the writers, they get paid one time and one time only. And sometimes it's not even that much. Fuck, sometimes you can get paid to write an entire episode of a TV show, and you can earn maybe $500.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, and if you're not constantly writing and having material bought from you, you're not getting paid. And
that sucks.
Yeah, so it's one of those fucking things where it's like, a lot of people are like, well, they're just trying to get more money. They're just trying to get rich. They're just trying to make Hollywood richer. And it's like, well, you can make that case for a lot of aspects of Hollywood. You can't make that case for writers. Hell, probably one of the reasons that so many people get blackballed is because when stuff like this happens, when writer strikes happens, people see it as an opportunity to get their shit submitted and turned in so that, they can try to get approved and slip under the picket line. And sometimes those folks get blackballed.
Yeah.
So, it's a thing. And a lot of actors are now starting to join in and support the writers because they know that you can't live a gig part time. So,
right.
I have an article here, but what do you have? What do you think about it?
I know that a lot of them are like saying like, oh, we're just going to wait it out until people start losing their houses and then they're going to be desperate. Yeah. I think that's fucking terrible, dude. It's awful. Imagine being in that position. Like, I don't know. It's fucked. Yeah, but like, a lot of actors are like in support of the people that are striking, and like, apparently a lot of them have offered to like pay for stuff and to like help them out, you know?
Yeah. There was a video of, what's his name? Pete Davidson.
Mm-hmm.
He was delivering pizzas to the writers. The writers. And so that's something that happened.
Yeah, but I'm sure that a lot of people have done that, like the whole pizza thing. I think that most people now are just doing it for the social media, you know.
You think they're doing it for the clout?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe the first couple of times, no. Maybe like the first people that did it, no. Like they were like genuinely concerned, like what can I do to feed all these fucking people, like, you know, most efficiently. But I think like after the first or second one, then yeah, people just started doing it just to be on camera doing it.
I would like to think that, you know, you don't like robots.
Chomix too. All right.
Are you referring to like AI? Because that's a whole thing. Like,
because that's a thing.
Well, no, because that's one of the threats from Hollywood was. Well, we'll just use AI. And
to
either
write movies now?
Imagine. To write movies, write shows, or even recreate scenes that we don't want to reshoot. And,
God damn.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you don't like robots? I mean, I don't know. I don't think AI can replace a writer, especially when it comes to anything, any kind of emotion. I mean,
I think we're wrong.
I think you can teach an AI to write maybe like a Fast and Furious script. You know what I mean? But you're not going to get them.
Look how much money those make, though. That's all they would need.
Yeah. But I don't.
And you're right, though. They would. That's like Fast 10 was literally a fucking script written by ChatGPT. Like, yeah. Yep. 100% dude.
But yeah. So let's take a look at this article, and I'll let you read it because I have I read too fast.
You want me to read it? Okay. Okay, let's just skip the first couple of sentences because, you know, they just repeat each other over and over again. Yeah, right there. For many writers, show business, all that glitters does not translate to gold. Just ask Annie Stamell, who has spent over a decade climbing the ranks in Hollywood as a writer on TV shows and films. She was already juggling a variety of side jobs to stay afloat when the Writers Guild of America called a strike on May 2nd. The state of our industry has gotten so bad that the strike didn't change much for me because I already had to work a side job to support my full-time job. Stamell, who first broke into the industry as writer's assistant on the Bones spinoff, The Finder, yikes, tough gig, tells People. Stamell, who has penned such shows as YouTube's Me and My Grandma and Awesomeness's TV's How to Survive a Breakup, moved from Los Angeles to Maine during the pandemic to lower her cost of living. Surviving as a writer in the industry has been doing a whole bunch of different things, she says. It's shocking how much our skills are transferable. Bro, you wrote for a bunch of shit shows. Right?
Well...
Not a very impressive
not an impressive resume, but not there are people. Resume. There are people. I mean, like anything Bones having to do with like David Boreanaz and stuff like that is a network gig.
All right. Lately, that has meant side gigs and copywriting for an ad agency and brand consulting. I have some consistent work with a friend who has a small energy consulting company. I helped her build a website and do social commenting for her. I also spent some time last year helping high school seniors write their college essays. I do so many different things, but they all pay the bills. In late spring, the Scribe was on the cusp of a major opportunity set to take out a feature pitch with a producer of a recent hit Netflix show. With plans made and her flight to Los Angeles purchased, the official halt in business, no active work or sales with studios, is allowed during the Writers Guild strike, caught her off guard. I just didn't think a strike was going to happen. I thought, well, our demands are so simple and make so much sense, why would they ever let us strike over this? Which was clearly very naive of me. I just thought it was such a no-brainer. We weren't asking for anything crazy.
Yeah.
Bro, I don't want to read everything. Come on.
So, the labor union, which represents more than 11,500 entertainment writers who work across film, television, news, and online media, announced a strike on May 2nd, the first since 2007. On Thursday, the Screen Actors Guild also went on strike, effectively shutting down all of Hollywood production. This includes Deadpool 3, Sandman Season 2, anything that's in production right now, The Witcher, anything. Everything is shut down right now. So, nothing is getting rolled out. The last time a dual strike was called was in 1960 when Ronald Reagan led SAG. Writers cite streaming as a core issue following the implosion of traditional broadcast and theatrical models and are seeking a major overhaul in compensation for streaming residuals as well as higher pay overall. I agree with that. I agree with the higher pay and residuals because my story is going to be told time and time and time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to get a penny after initial airing or initial purchase.
Yeah, that's kind of bullshit, yeah.
And it's really difficult because, like I said, when it comes to these things, you do only get one paycheck. And it doesn't matter how many times. If I write the first episode of House MD, how many people start at the beginning? Almost everybody who watches the show. I'm only getting paid once for that script.
Yes.
And
that sounds fair to me.
Why does it sound fair to you?
I'm just kidding. I'm just being dumb.
Okay. I was like, the bad place to be.
No.
And a solution to increase of mini rooms in which a small group of writers pen multiple scripts for a show's potential first season prior to production beginning. And this is something that a lot of people had issues with, including people like me, because when you pitch shows, you have a show pitch or you have a show purchase or an IP purchase. They bring in a whole bunch of writers and they say, hey, here's the premise of the show. What can you work out? Here's what we want to happen. Here's where the beginning and the end. And we need you guys to fill in the drama along these certain points.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the studio thinks that you're good enough or thinks that the writing's good enough, you get paid a small amount for essentially writing an entire show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Actors are also seeing better compensation and benefit plans, citing the rise of streaming services and complications resulting from the streaming model, contributing to a decline in wages and residuals. They're additionally looking for protections against the impact of AI on their work. And I agree with that as well. I also agree with the idea that we should not involve AI in this bullshit. Because it doesn't matter how much you teach an AI, it's not going to be able to write anything decent. It's not going to be able to write anything emotional, except for maybe Fast and Furious, but whatever.
Apparently streaming, you don't need anything deep or emotional to make a fuck ton of money.
Family. Streaming simply
my point exactly.
Streaming doesn't pay a livable wage, says Stamel, pointing to a pilot she created for YouTube Premium, which has been watched by millions of people. And again, you only get paid once for that. Mm-hmm. I have not gotten a single residual from that. You're not going to. And that's kind of what the issue is. Typical writers forfeit the copyright to their work in exchange for a piece of the pie in perpetuity, better known as residuals. But the streaming model, still categorized in contracts as new media, has allowed studios to sidestep such profit sharing. As Fran Drescher said so eloquently, they have changed the business model, therefore the contracts have to change. And I agree. I agree. When movies became audio, you know what I mean? Like there was now dialogue, actors had to up their pay because they're no longer just performing silly actions on camera. Now they were talking. Now they had to deliver lines. Now they had to work to emote and do stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So their pay went up. When movies went to color, you had dressing, you had makeup, you had a wardrobe now that had to be considered. You know what I mean? So pay for people went up. And now we have a media where we have so much production going into it, but the contracts and the negotiations have not been updated in any facet. So
that's crazy. Wonder what changed.
Just Hollywood and these corporations do their best to make their bottom line as high as possible.
That's so fucked, dude.
Like if I don't have to pay you, like say for instance you write a show, a skit show for PewDiePie, mm-hmm. right? And you know PewDiePie gets billions and billions of views, but you write the entire skit for him and he mm-hmm. uses it. He mm-hmm. puts it on camera, says the words, and it makes millions and millions of views. You only get paid once, and because
that's bullshit. Yeah,
yeah, and because it's new media and not contractual media like it has been, like with a studio or anything. You're writing for PewDiePie Productions, LLC. They don't have to adhere to any of the original works or original copyright or anything else like that. Mm-hmm. They can pay you just once or even not pay you at all. If they feel that they have changed enough of your script to form a new script, then you don't get paid at all.
Yeah, that's crazy. Honestly.
But yeah. How do you think all these knockoffs like Transmorphers and shit, how do you think they survive? They changed just enough for it to become an original script. Transmorphers. Yeah. You'll know all those knockoff movies. You know what I mean?
Komodo.
Yeah. Things like that. So they changed just enough to have an entirely new script. They don't have to pay you a goddamn thing, even though it was your IP that spawned whatever fucking show or movie they just shot.
Yeah. How long is this goddamn article? Holy shit.
Oh, this is right here. This is the end of it.
Oh, okay.
The screenwriter, who recently married a wine professional and plans to stay in Maine, currently splits her days between freelance jobs and working on a spec script, an independent project she can sell after the strike lifts, with her writing partner. She's willing to wait out the strike as long as it takes to achieve fair terms. Meanwhile, threats from the studios are only deepening the writer's resolve, she says. Earlier this week, an anonymous studio exec told Deadline, the end game is to allow things to drag on until union members start losing their apartments and losing their houses. The comment went viral. Stamel predicts writers will hold their ground. We know how to exist without getting paid. The people who don't know are the studio execs, I would wager. I don't know a single writer who is like, oh, I'm ready to accept a bad deal. And Ron Perlman issued a very, very scathing response to that.
Yeah, he just did a threat like he was still Clay from the Sons of Anarchy.
He was a Hellboy.
Well, I mean, I don't know, the man's like 75 years old. I don't think he's gonna do much.
I don't know, dude. He's a big dude. Like he's a large man and he knows a whole lot of people. Let's see if we can get this.
But I will say one thing before I get off this. The motherfucker Who said we're going to keep this thing going until people start losing their houses and their apartments? Listen to me, motherfucker. There's a lot of ways to lose your house. Some of it is financial. Some of it is karma. And some of it is just figuring out who the fuck said that. And we know who said that. And where he fucking lives. There's a lot of ways to lose your house. You wish that on people. You wish that families starve while you're making $27 fucking million a year for creating nothing. Be careful, motherfucker. Be really careful. Because that's the kind of shit that stirs shit up. Peace out.
Ooh, so scary.
Considering his reputation in Hollywood, I will take it seriously.
I don't. He's a 5'10", 75-year-old man. What the fuck is going to do?
I don't think he's... How old is he? He's not 75, is he?
I don't know.
I think he's in his 60s.
He's 73, bro.
Well, I was wrong.
5'10", 73-year-old man. Oh, I'm so fucking frightened. Holy shit. I'm shaking in my goddamn boots.
Oh.
And then, like, actors making comments like that, just, I've always been cringe to me. You know what I mean? Like, you're a Why fucking millionaire, bitch. What are you gonna do, bro? You're gonna have the fucking... You're gonna have the help do something for you, dumbass? Like, shut the fuck up.
I mean, he's made enough money to be able to stand up for these social issues. You know what I mean? Like, like we see people that have money, right? They're usually in shape, and it's because they don't have to work a 9-to-5 job. You know what I mean? They don't have to put in
shit. You know?
Yeah, they don't have to eat poor people diet. They don't have to eat McDonald's. They're in fit because they have the money to mm-hmm. hit the gym, to spend that kind of time and that effort. Mm-hmm. And I think that's exactly what's going on here. Like when you look at who's making the money, these executives, these producers. Oh, hey, it's Sam Gear.
Hey, Joe. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, Joe. Welcome to the show.
How's it going, bud?
I think this is I think the actors standing in solidarity with this are better for it, because they're showing even if it's not.
Hey man, listen, actors are kind of part of the problem.
I don't think so.
Really? So Robert Downey Jr. being the highest paid fucking actor of all time, earning over $300 million in all of the Marvel movies, that's not part of the fucking problem.
Hi, Barb.
You don't think that Marvel movie number 10, he could have taken a lesser pay cut to pay some other fucking people like Keanu did? Like, bro, well, actors are part of the fucking problem.
He's not the highest paid. It's not even close.
Yeah, he is. No, Jerry Seinfeld is.
Nope. They this recently, highest paid in Hollywood. Go ahead and look it up. I'm trying to get this fucking paywall removed. Agreed.
Tom Cruise, highest paid actor of all time.
Wow.
So, Tom Cruise, Will Smith, Leo DiCaprio, Brad Pitt, Dwayne Johnson, Chris Hemsworth, Vin Diesel, Tom Hart. You don't think all of these people, instead of taking multi-million dollars for their already millions of dollars lives, could have just taken a lesser pay cut and helped other people that they fucking know are struggling? They know about writers. They know about the fucking crew. They know how much they fucking make. They know. They're not dumb. So you don't think that actors are part of the fucking problem? Like, they could have helped out already being rich and shit. Like, Keanu did it. He donated all of his shit to the special effects crew.
To the special effects department from The Matrix.
Yeah, he donated his whole shit. He buys all of his fucking stuntmen's cars and fucking motorcycles, and he fucking pays off their daughter's fucking cancer fund. Whatever the fuck, bro. Like, he actually is one of the only actors that I've seen actually give back to the production of the movie. All of these other actors take their fucking paychecks and residuals, and they... See you later.
Former child star says Barb. He was the He was the stunt double for Ghost Disc Loop. Anyways.
To a certain extent,
I do absolutely agree with you because Keanu is a perfect example. However, let's not forget that fucking guy is a saint. Like, that guy wants for nothing, has almost nothing, and he has actual paid out business ventures. You have so many of these fucking stars that, you know, go out and they buy a winery or they buy, you know what I mean, some weird niche business. You know what I mean? Like, they invest in these weird, strange things or even, like, crypto scams and shit like that. Keanu has a motorcycle company. He has...
He invested in crypto, too, in NFTs and shit.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did. He did not. Yes, he did.
Oh, my God.
Okay, bro, don't believe me.
I'm gonna Google that.
Go ahead. Let's see what Joe said. Actors get paid too much. I think they should get more than the others, but yeah, it shouldn't be 75% paycheck to the actor and the rest of the 25 goes to the other 100 people that made the movie. That's what I'm saying. And it's not like they're fucking struggling. It's not like these actors are all fucking starving artists or anything. Like, they have enough fucking money, bro. Like, they can literally take a fucking pay cut and be just fine. Just fine.
On that side.
Bro, are you Googling like an old man again, bro?
Nope, hold on.
What exactly did Keanu Reeves say about investing in NFT? That's how you Google, you know that?
Oh, no, he didn't. He didn't make it. His fans made one in dedication to him. Right. He has nothing to do with it. But anyways, the crew can involve anyone from shit 15, 20 people to thousands of people, depending on the size of the production. And actors, I mean, it's kind of become,
hold on. Still teaming up with an NFT project as an advisor for its charitable foundation that explicitly aims to get artists into metaverse is quite an evolution from laughing at the idea that NFTs could be valuable. Non-Fungible Labs somewhat addressed the video of Reeves laughing at the idea of NFTs, which someone posted in response to Future and... Did he change his opinion about NFTs? The company responded. Yeah, dude, he's an advisor for a fucking NFT company, bro.
Okay, he's not involved with it, though. He's an advisor.
Did you not hear it? He literally tries to convince people that NFTs are going to be the fucking... What did they say? Aims to get artists into the metaverse is quite an evolution. Yeah, see? Like, what are you talking about? You're going to tell me he got into that just, you know... Just because, nah, I don't like NFTs, but, like, I'll be a part of this. Like, really? Well, like,
you said it yourself. It's charity.
But he's still into NFTs.
He didn't make one. He's not investing in one. All right.
Oh my goodness, bro! You are so fucking annoying. You know that? You are so fucking annoying.
Whatever. Moving on. Actors getting paid millions of dollars has been kind of like a trope in our world for a while now. You know what I mean? Like it's been kind of like, oh well, you guys make hundreds of millions of dollars, and it's not true. A lot of the time when you have Marvel movies, of course, Marvel movies are going to pay their actors millions and millions of dollars. But then you have other productions where people only get paid $500,000. And I know that's still like, holy shit, that's a lot of fucking money. But when it comes to Hollywood, not really. Let's not forget that Iron Man, RDJ's first paycheck for Iron Man was $600,000. That was it. And considering how much money these names bring in, they have to pay out this money. They have to, because it's an investment. You know what I mean? Like, if I plaster RDJ's name on our podcast and say he's going to be here, sure, a lot of people are going to show up to see what he says, just like Joe Rogan. You know, half of Joe Rogan's listenership doesn't listen to him. They listen for the people he brings on. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not because Joe Rogan is a genius or something like that. He said it himself. He's a fucking moron. And he has interesting people to talk to. You know? So, like, this concept that, you know, these people are constantly making millions and millions and millions of dollars. It's just not true. Like,
yeah, but $600,000 just covers the first payment. But then actors also get cinema deals. Actors also get licensing deals, image and likeness deals. They get all sorts of fucking promotions. And
if it's in the contract, yes.
But most of the time it is, though. Because you can't sell a fucking Black Widow figurine without Scarlett Johansson's fucking face on that, or else 8-year-old's going to be like, who the fuck is that?
No, but what you can do is you can sell an Iron Man with the helmet closed. That image is not RDJ.
But Tony Stark is still in there somewhere. Like, I'm sure it's in his contract that what I'm saying is, like, yeah, I get you that the first upfront payment usually isn't a lot, but after that they also get residuals. They also get, like I said, they get cinema deals, they get branding deals, they get fucking all this other shit. Like,
they do.
They make a lot of fucking money.
I'm not saying that they are not spoiled. I am not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that the amount of money sometimes gets lost. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, that's fine, but my original point here was they should help the writers.
Absolutely. I agree with you 1,000,000%. Because that's writers all, make this shit happen.
That's all I'm trying to say. And, you know,
John Favreau, who wrote Iron Man 1, who essentially is responsible for the MCU, now has his hands in Disney. Now has his hands mm-hmm. in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And this guy did it through
this grassroots system. Shitty Iron Man movie. Yeah.
No, he did it through this grassroots system. Like, he literally spent his own money. He got the actors he wanted, which was RDJ, which was, what's her name? Gwyneth Paltrow. Mm-hmm. Which was, you know, he got the actors he wanted by spending the money, by doing these little viral campaigns here and there. He made a YouTube video with Freddie Wong about mm-hmm. Cowboys and Aliens, just to keep his name in the public mouth, just to keep people remembering who he is.
Because he was an actor before all that shit, all before he was a director.
He's been a writer for longer than he's been an actor.
There you go. See?
So, you know, but I am agreeing with you in the idea that you are correct, that actors should share the wealth.
Yeah, they're part of the problem.
However, God, like, this is, I'm not even trying to take the devil's advocate point here. It's because I know the industry just well enough, that where their pay goes is not up to them. That's up to the studio and their agent. So, Keanu doing what he did, you know, to help get the movie made, was because not only was he an executive producer of The Matrix, but he was, he kind of has his own contracts written, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't go by, like, Hollywood standards and stuff. Bro, like that.
If Mr. Beast can go on the street and hand a homeless guy $10,000 on YouTube, then I can literally sit here and say that actors can walk up to writers and just give them some money. Like, it doesn't have to be all contracts and managers and shit. They can literally just go and give them some fucking money. Or buy them a goddamn house. Why not? But
they can't.
Like I just said, how can Jimmy fucking walk up to a literal homeless guy and hand him a fucking envelope of $10,000 and say, go ahead, bro, here you go.
Because Mr. Beast is acting what we call philanthropically, right? I'm going to try to put it to you in a way you can understand, right? Okay, so let's say I'm booking pilots.
Okay.
Right? How many members are there?
4.
Okay, so 100% of the pay would get divided up four ways.
Right.
But if I decide that, oh, you know what, Joel mm-hmm. needs a little bit more money because, I don't know, his car broke down, he has a flat tire.
Okay.
And I split that money and give the other 3 less money to give Joel more money, how is that going to look to you?
I mean, I guess, but that's kind of like, I don't think you're arguing. You're going like above and beyond, dude. All I'm saying is they can literally help them out in any other way. They don't have to do it.
They can, but not the way you're suggesting. They can't literally just give them money. That creates a whole lot of problems in the industry. What they can do, though, and no, going off your example, what they can do, though, is influence contracts. They can influence writers. They can influence brand splitting and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, they can do that. They can't just buy or give them money because that causes issues. Stuff like John Wick, believe it or not, for like the multi-million dollar, billion dollar franchise it is, it's still a very small personal crew. Mm-hmm. Like, all these guys know each other.
No, yeah, it is. Oh, and yeah, you could literally tell by the way the movie is made that that's how it is.
Yeah, and so this is a small crew of people making these movies because they love the movies. But you expand that crew from, you know, let's say 200, you know what I mean, total crew. Mm-hmm. You expand that to, I don't know, 1,500, 1,500. Mm-hmm. And then that dividend and the divide of anonymity between the actor and like the outskirts of people, like the grips and the writers and the you know what I mean, the best boys and stuff, becomes wider and wider and wider. So for Keanu to do that for such a small crew, for this crew of like 40 to 80 to 100 people, yeah, that's cool because they all kind of know each other and it's all kind of an in-group. But if they were to do it for like Marvel or do it for like Sony, anything
Sony. The Matrix. He did it for the fucking Matrix.
The Matrix was filmed by like 17 people. Yeah, like the Matrix, the first Matrix was not a lot.
No, he did it for the third one.
He did it for the second and third one.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying. I don't know, man. Like, whatever. Like,
but
yeah, actors are part of the fucking problem. And honestly, they're the ones that are acting all tough right now, acting all like Ron Perlman, big and bad. Like, bro, fuck off. Okay.
Well,
like,
you got to remember, they're losing work too. The Boys just shut down.
Mm.
Like, they're losing work. If they're not acting, they're not getting paid. It doesn't matter what their contract says. So they're losing work. I mean, like, is it as bad as the writers? Absolutely not. Nowhere near as bad as, you know, these guys, you know, that are suffering this. But, you know, at least they're taking the hit. Ryan Reynolds, Hugh Jackman, who are making a dream project for every fucking Marvel fan for the last 20 years. They're shut down. And it doesn't matter.
They have other investments and other things that make them money, like brand deals and fucking companies that they invest in. Like, Ryan Reynolds has that whole fucking
Mint Mobile
credit thing. Yeah. And then like
Mint Mobile.
Thing, yeah, and then Hugh Jackman has his fucking whiskey thing, and then like
coffee,
whatever, dude. Like, I'm saying, it's like they all have other ways to make money. Plus, I'm sure like Nike, Adidas, fucking Bass Pro Shop wouldn't mind hiring a fucking actor to do a commercial with you. Like, they're gonna be fine. They're gonna be fine.
Yeah, they're gonna be fine. Yes, I'm well aware. What I'm saying is that they're also losing work because of this. Now. I, as for them being part of the problem, I don't think they're part of the problem because these guys are paid for a very specific job and expecting them to care for the entire crew is a bit fucking much. I'm not going to say it's like I'm not going to say it's ignorant or anything like that, but expecting them to care for a crew of 1,500, 2,000 people when their sole job is to show up, say some lines. But how,
though? It's like, you know this check for $2 million that you're about to earn? That guy over there made it happen. He made a fourth of that. Not even. A tenth of that.
Keep going. It's like a 60th.
You see what I mean? That, like, how fair is that? How is that, like, that's literally part of the fucking problem. And, like, yeah, you can't, like, expect them to care for... I'm not saying care for everybody. I'm not saying the guy who arranges the fucking shoes for the actors needs to get paid a fucking living salary. I'm not saying that either. I'm saying, like, the writers, producers, and other people, they do need to care for those people because without them, they wouldn't be on the fucking acting. So they wouldn't be acting. Like, asking them to care for the people who literally make you, is not asking for much.
No, you know, you're not wrong. You're not wrong at all.
You know? That's all I'm saying.
And it's like I said.
They need to get off fucking social media. They need to stop acting all fucking tough. They need to stop acting all fucking compassionate. And we care. Blah, blah. I'm going to go back to my 10-car mansion and you can sit there and lose your apartment. But I'm here for you, okay? I'm here for you. And here's some pizza. Here you go. Now I'm going to go get driven home by my driver. Bye. You know, like, the fuck, bro? Fuck you, dude. Like, that shit pisses me off when they get in front of the camera. Like Ron Perlman, fucking Pete Davidson, all the other motherfuckers that have brought pizza to the fucking cruise. Like, that shit pisses me off because they're literally not helping at all.
And again, you know, it's I'm not defending like I'm not defending any of this. It's just that I just know barely.
But what's your opinion?
My opinion is that they should use their influence and their money to help.
Right now, actually help though.
Actually help. Right now, what they're doing is they're just showing solidarity. And in showing solidarity, it does not. Granted, it gets them a 5-minute piece on YouTube or CNN or Fox or whatever. Yeah, okay, it gets them a little bit of publicity. More so, what it does is it gets eyes on the issue. And whether you think that's a good thing or a bad thing because of their fake altruistic ideas,
that's a good thing. Eyes on the issue is a good thing. That's fine.
It's up to you. However, this thing where they should pay out of pocket for other expenses or stuff like that, that's just not, it's not feasible in this industry because of contracts, because of what would be considered nepotism or favoritism. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, for instance, what happened with Deadpool, right? Deadpool was filming, and when the writer's strike happened, a lot of shit hit the fan because you know how much Ryan Reynolds likes to improvise, right? Like, he likes to fuck around and change lines in the moment or make a joke or, you know what I mean, like that. When the writer's strike happened, he can't do that anymore. Now he has to go strictly by the script, because if he changes the line, then he gets a writer's credit, and he can't do that with the strike happening. So things like little things like that that you don't know about behind the scenes happen, and it's really difficult for a lot.
But if an actor can go on Instagram and take pizza outside to fucking writers who are starving, losing their houses with their families, and then go around and Instagram pays them, you know, $10,000 for the viral, like the fucking views for that Instagram, and they don't do anything with that, like how is that right?
Well, I don't think anybody really got paid for any kind of viral campaign. I know,
but they do. But they do. If you like, okay, there's a big thing right now on Twitter that people are getting their fucking Twitter checks, their monetization Twitter checks, and people I saw fucking Twitter pages make $22,000 in a month from tweeting like 5 things. You know,
yeah.
So if an actor goes on Twitter and films themselves fucking delivering pizzas and gets, let's say, I don't know, Let's say 2 million views. And then keeps on tweeting about it and keeps tweeting about it, and like, and they don't do anything with that money, with the fucking Twitter payout. That's literally what they're doing.
Well, again, I don't think Pete Davidson filmed himself. I think he was filmed. I don't think he sat there with his fucking phone in selfie mode like, look how good I'm being. No, he just showed up with
pizza. A lot of them do that though.
Show me an example, please. You're making a claim. I want to see an example of it. Pete Davidson was just filmed. Like somebody, like Leslie, what's her name? Leslie, the giant black chick from Ghostbusters 2016. What's her name? Leslie something.
I have no idea.
She also came out and made a statement in solidarity with the Actors Guild.
I'll look it up, but I'm pretty sure I've seen a couple of people do that shit. And it may not have been this particular writer's strike, but it also may have been like,
last one like, was in 2007.
No, there was a thing with musicians not so long ago. I don't know. I'll look it up.
Do you mean the payout thing that happened?
Yeah.
In like 2016, 2017?
No, I don't know what it was. I'll look it up. I'll bring you examples.
Well. All right. But, you know, like I said, you know, expecting actors to go above and beyond part of the crew, they just can't do that. You know?
The crew, fuck the crew.
But well, the crew is what makes it happen. However, I do agree with you that they should use their influence, they should use their money to help to donate to SAG, to donate to these organizations that support writers and support them and help them draw out pensions and stuff like that. Then they should pressure the companies, especially if they own a company like Brad Pitt does. Brad Pitt owns Plan B Productions. I can guarantee you that that Plan B Productions still operates the same way everything the fuck else does.
2-3%.
Just Googled it and it says writers usually make 2-3% of the movie's budget.
Yeah.
That's if they give up exclusivity rights, like we read earlier. Like, they have to give up exclusivity rights, which is why the guy that originally made John Wick doesn't work on John Wick anymore. He made the first movie, and he is no longer part of the crew. So he gave up his exclusivity. Even though he made John Wick, he's no longer part of the franchise. So they give up a large portion of that. And the 2 to 3% also gets eaten up by managers and stuff like that, and, you know, shit like that, and dues, and I don't know. It usually comes out more like to 1 to 2%, if possible. And that is, of course, split up between how many writers are on the movie. I mean, Margot Robbie is getting $12.5 million for the Barbie movie, and that is like $100 million budget. She's getting over 10%. No, budget accounts for more than just the actors.
And again, that doesn't include cinema rights, cinema deals, movie equity, and brand fucking deals, and having her image and likeness involved with the Barbie brand. She's gonna make fuck ton money off of that. Like, dude, like that twelve mil turns into like 75 mil. Like, honestly, like in a fucking blink of an eye.
If she got it, you gotta remember, sometimes these fucking actors get fucked over.
I'm just saying, in the blink of an eye, like literally with a couple of signed pieces of paper, that 12 mil can be multiplied like by six. Like, that's what I'm saying, dude. Actors shouldn't be making that kind of fucking money when the people who made it happen are starving.
I agree with you.
Like, yeah.
And I agree that writers should be paid.
They should really like work out deals in their contracts. They should be talking with the execs. They should be fucking doing something other than here's some pizza. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying, like, bro, fucking use your fucking head. Like, you have millions of dollars. You have millions of fans. You have plenty of influence in the industry. The best thing you could fucking think of is a $20 pizza. Fuck off.
I can't say for certain what's going on behind the scenes, because I don't know.
And you can't, like, it's not something to argue with. Like, I'm just ranting. I'm just venting.
No. I agree with you. I agree wholeheartedly. I really do. In my opinion, writers should get 20% of a budget, because they're the ones that literally wrote the fucking thing that's being produced.
They make the thing you come out of your mouth. They do that. Like, that's so dumb.
And at the same time, though, we do have this new media issue. Things like Netflix.
Well, YouTube and all that, that's... I don't know.
That's how most jobs fix things.
Pizza party. Barb. Here's your employee appreciation week.
get back to work.
Pizza party and a $20 Chili's gift card.
If you're upset, how about free food?
Yeah, legit, though. God damn it.
And, I can't say for certain what's going on behind the scenes. I can't say for certain, you know what I mean?
I can. Bullshit.
But what I can say is that sometimes also writers are kind of the issue. I can say that with ease.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Sometimes studios back writers instead of...
Can we get off of this soon and talk about Xbox?
We're gonna. This is kind of like my last point here. Because sometimes writers get backed instead of people who want to make the project better, we lose properties that should have been
A good example is Five Nights at Freddy's. I get it.
Five Nights at Freddy's, The Witcher.
Yeah.
Preacher.
I get it.
Firefly. Angel. You know what I mean?
I think execs and I think producers have a lot to do with that as well.
When it comes to like The Witcher, which is like the biggest example of somebody on the crew going, hey, this isn't right. This isn't what the books say. This isn't what the video games say. This is none of the lore. Mm-hmm. This isn't what would happen. And the writer's running to a company and going, well, he's making things difficult. Well, how is he making things difficult? Well, he wants to stick to the story. Well, the person that's going and running to the company is what's known as a staff writer. They work for Netflix and were assigned to this project.
Yeah, and all the studio exec would have to do is be like, shut the fuck up and write the fucking story. Like, and then the writer would have to fucking write the story.
Yeah.
But the exec will turn around and go, oh no, I'm sorry. Okay, you know, yeah, let's just do what you want. Like, you know what I mean? Execs are part of the fucking problem in that sense.
Executives are definitely part of the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, I, you know what? But VT Network stands in solidarity with the writers. We stand in solidarity with SAG.
Yeah, tell me where to send the fucking pizza. Yeah.
Hey, we'll go put on a free concert and wherever the fuck they are. We'll show up and start singing some Beatles tunes.
I'll do hand puppets.
I mean, they got us talking about it, so this is more eyes on the issue. You know what I mean? If you know anybody who's in the writing world or in the writing industry,
fuck and, you. No, I'm just kidding.
Wish them well and let them know that they're worth.
This is what happens when we stay on a topic too long. My anger gets all misdirected, man. Okay,
just fuck everybody. Anyways, we stand in solidarity with them, and we hope that this gets resolved soon enough, because it has nothing to do with us wanting entertainment. It has to do with the idea that people should get paid what they're worth. So let me try to see. Let me try to find the story that I was looking at.
Tip your strippers, okay?
Huh? Tip your strippers.
Yeah, yeah, because the two people had to get extremely disappointed in order for that to happen, okay? Because we need Deadpool 3 film to finish. True. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, that's part of it, but more so over as somebody who wanted to be a writer in Hollywood, somebody who tried their damnedest to get their foot in the door with me and DJ, like we know the pain, and I really wanted DJ to be here for this discussion, but you know, he couldn't. But you know, as somebody who has submitted materials, who has done pitch offers, who has done pitch meetings, who has done elevator pitches, who has done outlines, mini rooms, who has done, you know, creator, you know, brainwaves and stuff like that, it's so much more bullshit.
I'm the best writer ever. I'm the greatest writer. I wrote everything. Okay. I write in everything. I produced everything. I'm the greatest. That's what you sound like. Shut up.
What the fuck?
That's what you sound like. Come on, all right, man.
You know what? I'm going to discount every fucking thing you say about music from now on.
Okay. Because that's fine. I mean, I don't really have to sit there and fucking tell people everything I've done like you just did either. Like,
is that I'm speaking because I know the experience.
Unbelievable.
I know the experience. That's all.
Okay, that's all you had to say. You didn't be like, and I've written in boardrooms, I've written in fucking showers, I've written this. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that.
Have you eaten today? You are like angry at everything right now.
You're annoying me today.
Fuck you. Anyways. So Sony's last bid to block the Microsoft acquisition of Activision Blizzard has failed. And it failed on their own fucking hubris, which I think is the funniest goddamn thing ever.
It is. The whole situation's hilarious.
I think that, like, you're right, though. It's fucking, oh my God. Like, how they made the point literally against themselves, mm-hmm. thinking it would hurt the other team.
Battle of the neckbeards. Oh, no. Anyways, yeah.
I gotta.
Me too, bro. Getting there.
They kneecapped their quarterback, thinking that was gonna make the other team lose, mm-hmm. and because mm-hmm. they did, like, it's fucking beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like, this idea where Sony came out was like, well, we're going to have exclusivities, exclusives, all the exclusives. And everybody in the fucking room turned to them and went,
what do you know about exclusives?
You want to clarify that?
There's Spider-Man. Hmm? You want to clarify that?
Call of War? God of War? Huh? Fucking Uncharted? Huh? Jack and Dex?
Hmm? Last of Us?
The Last of Us? You know, like... Mm-hmm.
Sure, you want to talk about exclusives? Yeah, for real though. They were like, it's gonna shallow the market and it's gonna cause everybody to have less access to game. And then the judge is like, isn't that what you're fucking doing?
Isn't that kind of what your business is?
Isn't that what your whole fucking, yeah, your whole thing model? Is? Like, fuck you. Like, no.
And it's just.
And then they tried again with the fucking extension of the block. And then the judge said no. And then they went to the fucking Seventh Circuit. And then they were like, no. And then they tried to get it into the Supreme Court, bro. They tried.
The FTC. Yeah.
They tried. And they were like, no.
So let's take a look at this. Microsoft's win against the Federal Trade Commission in its attempt to block the $69 billion purchase of Call of Duty maker Activision Blizzard could clear the way for the company to move forward with the largest deal in gaming history. While the FTC is appealing U.S. District Court's Judge Jacqueline Scott Corley's ruling to the Ninth Circuit Court, the momentum is increasingly moving in Microsoft's favor. And if the acquisition moves forward, Microsoft could dramatically alter the landscape of the gaming industry, ranging from the home console market to the mobile gaming. Where the hell did the come from? And the still nascent cloud gaming industry. I think it's very clear now that Microsoft, as a company, views gaming as a really important part of the whole of what the company does overall. Fucking not, bro. IDC Research, director of AR, VR, and gaming at IDC told Yahoo. That is a lot of letters, and I don't know what any of them mean.
I don't care, research director of, of assault rifle and. I don't care, told.
At a high level for Microsoft, getting a lot more content from Activision Blizzard is a game changer. There you go.
I got it. Activision Blizzard is the longest game publisher, largest. You fuck. Amen. Largest game publisher in North America, in addition to the hit Call of Duty franchise, which is one of the best selling games of all fucking time. Also offers World of Warcraft, Diablo, and Overwatch, also some of the best selling games of all time. The firm, however, also owns mobile game publisher King, the company behind Candy Crush, another most giant purchased and sold game of all time. Yep. Adding those franchises to Microsoft's existing first-party titles, including Halo and Forza, would catapult Microsoft past Nintendo to make the company the second-largest home console maker by revenue behind Sony. It would also put Microsoft behind Tencent and Sony as the third-largest gaming company by global revenue. More broadly, the deal would push Microsoft higher up the food chain in the global gaming industry as well. Yeah, like they weren't already top fucking dog. Yeah, okay, buddy.
Historically, Sony would have twice the market share of Microsoft at all times. And so now with this acquisition, on a revenue basis, they're the same size.
Yeah, bro.
It's a huge moment for gaming industry.
Dude, Diablo, Call of Duty, Candy Crush, World of Warcraft, those fucking games bring in billions and billions of fucking dollars a year.
Billions and billions.
And billions of dollars. They're the greatest games, okay? The Activision Blizzard makes the greatest games of all time. Yeah, no, anyways, like, honestly, bro, it's fucking nuts how much money that shit's gonna bring in. And then especially with the Xbox branding and the Xbox fucking marketing system, the way they have it down right now, oh my god. Like, the only reason Sony was worried was because they were like, nah, they can't join the club.
Yeah, no shit though, right?
I don't want them to join the club. We're in the rich universe. We're in the rich people gaming. You guys can't be in the club.
Yeah, you guys aren't welcome.
It's like, bitch, fuck you. Like, yeah, no. And for them to say that they'll surpass Nintendo, I don't think so.
Not even close, no.
But we'll see about that maybe in a few years? Maybe?
No.
I think that was a little bit of an overstatement.
I think that's an overestimate.
Nintendo right now is like, oh god, the kids are fighting again. What do we do? You know, Nintendo's their dad, bro.
Oh, we have an update 3 hours ago.
Uh-oh. Oh, God.
Nintendo, Nintendo is just like... Oh, the peasants are fighting.
Yeah.
What do you want, peasants? What do you need, peasants, huh?
Hey, when Xbox gets Call of Duty, we're gonna make sure you get it on the Switch and all your Nintendo stuff too.
That's nice. We don't need it.
So anyways, back as I was saying, I make so much fucking money.
I gotta go lie down on my bed filled with it's little
like
cash. Legit,
bro. It's like Nintendo's like, so while I was raking in my cash into my gold garage, okay, hold on, the kit.
I'm gonna need you two to shut the fuck up. I'm trying to talk here. Okay. Deal with it on your own. Deal with it on your own. No, don't involve me. Okay. Right.
Anyway, so I was saying in my gold fucking garage.
You know what I mean? Next like, to my yacht that has a yacht inside my yacht.
That's literally what Nintendo's doing right now. They're like, oh, God. Oh God, the kids are fighting.
But that's just it, right? How like how Sony tried to involve Nintendo at the beginning. And like Sony was like, what about Nintendo? They're gonna lose rights. And Xbox was like, we already made a deal.
Yeah, Nintendo was like, I'm sorry, would we not tell you?
Sent the memo. Did you send the memo?
I didn't send the memo.
We sent the memo.
Did you be like, did you send the memo? Not to them. We sent a memo.
We sent a memo to someone. Like, that was probably my favorite part of this whole fucking process. Outside of, like, Sony's own hubris. But the idea that they were like, Nintendo's gonna lose access, too. Nintendo was like, don't involve me. I already got access, bitch.
It was like... Oh, now we're good. Don't...
Yeah, really. Like, just making it, like, making money rain on another pile of money. What? Oh, yeah, no, access. Yeah, sure. Hold on. I'm busy.
For real.
It compounds.
What the fuck? No, yeah, that's literally what happened. So, anyway, what was the update? What happened with the update?
So, let's see the update. We said, oh, memo. Oh, my God. Microsoft signs Call of Duty deal with PlayStation and bid to seal Activision takeover. And this was 3 hours ago. So let's take a look here.
So they signed it. It's done?
I don't know. Let's read the article. Go ahead.
Tech titan Microsoft has signed a deal to keep best-selling video game Call of Duty available on PlayStation console as it tries to convince regulators to approve its $69 billion takeover of the game's publisher Activision. That's pretty much all we need to know. So, like, they're just going to keep it on PlayStation. Yeah, which is not a surprise because they have to. Like, I don't think anybody had them. I don't think anybody on Microsoft's, like, side had plans to exclusive, like, Call of Duty to Xbox. I don't think that's what they were trying to do. You know?
I mean, I'm just looking at this because, like, that was another argument from Sony, right? That was another argument from Sony.
Well, yeah, you're going to take it away from us.
And Microsoft was like, we lose money.
Yeah.
Why would we do that?
All right.
Basically, Sony is just a bunch of cucks.
Right now, like, Sony wants to maintain its fucking exclusivity death grip on the franchises it has, and this puts into question the idea of how much exclusivity one company can have. And also, this also opens up a whole lot of studios being able to sell their rights and their IPs to whatever company they want to, despite having ownership issues with like Sony or Nintendo or Activision or Microsoft. This is going to set a lot of precedents that we're going to see coming up and a lot of legal battles coming up with IPs and stuff like that. Because if and when this does go through, a lot of people are going to take this and run with it. And the idea that, hey, you know what? I have nothing to contractually bind me anymore. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And doing this is going to bring an opportunity to a lot of smaller developers who were courting Sony or courting Microsoft or courting Nintendo to be able to open their market up to Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft and say, hey, because of this merger, we no longer have to sign any type of publishing exclusivity. We can market to all three or be on all three on all development fronts. Mm-hmm. So this is a lot. This is not just like a tug of war between two children. Like, this opens up a lot of legal avenues for a lot of people to get out of weird contracts, right? Like, Sony has rights to a bunch of games that are not being published right now, or are sitting on the shelf because Sony's like, we're not going to put money into them because we own them when we don't fucking have to. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Now because of this,
which is what's going to happen to fucking Destiny.
Yeah. So because of this, those games and those game companies that are sitting on those shelves are going to be able to say, hey, we no longer have to, abide by this weird clause that you have. Now we can just sell our entire company to Microsoft or Nintendo or Bethesda or Ubisoft or anybody else because this weird exclusivity deal has now finished. So this is going to be really interesting going forward. And we're going to see a lot more indie games that have been stuck to Steam. You know what I mean? Like BattleBit Remastered. They're going to be able to court all these publishers now without having to worry about console
exclusivity deals.
Yeah, exclusivity deals. Like BattleBits Remastered, other games that are on Steam alone, like Ready or Not, stuff like that. These guys are now going to be able to...
Well, Xbox has already been doing that for a while now. Insurgency Sandstorm was only on Steam, and now it's on Xbox and a couple of other games too. Yeah, like Unpacking and a couple of other ones, yeah.
Yeah, so now this is going to be a bigger boost, you know what I mean, to the yeah. industry. And I think this is a good thing. I really do. I mean, what kind of games do you want to see come to like Xbox and stuff like that are just on Steam?
None right now, to be honest with you. I'm kind of happy. I don't really play Xbox, so that's not really a question for me to answer, you know?
Well, I mean, you can answer in the idea that you want some people to, like, we know people that only have a console, you know, and being able to play games on Steam would be a big,
I guess, shit like Phasmophobia would be kind of cool on console.
Yeah.
Other than that, not really anything. Maybe Counter-Strike on console, but that would never happen.
The Mortuary's Assistant.
Because of that, you gotta remember that a lot of this shit is up to the devs too, you know.
Well, and that's just it. A lot of these guys don't
like, if they don't want to port it to console, they're not going to do it. You know, like they didn't port Phasma to console at all.
Well, they're porting Phasma to console. Huh. But the thing is that a lot of these game developers don't want to do it because of exclusivity. Because, you know, like, I don't want to...
Contracts, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to just work for Sony. I don't want to just work for Microsoft. Or I don't want to just work for Nintendo. I want to be able to get my game out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that's a good thing, yeah.
So this is going to open up this idea of a competitive market. You know, like, Hell Let Loose is one. Squad is another. Let's see. Alone is another. Subnautica has been cross-platform for a while. But there's a whole bunch of Steam games that can now be courted and looked at, especially when it comes to, you know, if an executive on Microsoft or anything else, or, you know, Microsoft or Sony or anybody else opens up Steam and looks at, you know, oh, let's see what's trending, what's going on. Now they can start courting them, you know, like AWOL. Even AIM Lab
collection being ported out.
AIM Lab is on console already.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Hellbound is another one. Last Will, Lost in Vivo, Shrine 2. Like, these are all Total War Three Kingdoms. That's another one.
I really hope the acquisition comes soon.
I really do hope it just finishes.
It's going to be a weird world. It's going to be a weird world to live in when Call of Duty owns Xbox.
You mean Xbox owns Call of Duty?
Right. Right.
I don't know. Like, they've already started. Didn't you say they're already fixing the servers?
Yeah, they started fixing the old school servers, man. Like, you can find a game on the original Modern Warfare 2 look crazy now. Everybody's busting out the 360s and playing Modern Warfare 2 and shit.
Huh, look at that. I found a fucking article about it.
Nice.
Let's take a look at it, because honestly, I think this is a really cool phenomenon. Call of Duty players are flocking back to the classics, but there's a problem. It's a very short read.
Call of Duty fans have recently returned to the Xbox 360 era Call of Duty games, like the original Modern Warfare 2 and the first Black Ops, but some are experiencing input delay when playing on the Xbox Series XX consoles. The Xbox 360 Call of Duty games are what established the franchise as an industry leader, with blockbuster titles like Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare 2, Modern Warfare 3, World at War, Black Ops 1, Black Ops 2 still remembered today by fans to this. Fondly by fans to this day. Unfortunately, their classics Call of Duty games have been difficult for fans to revisit. Besides dwindling multiplayer populations, players have had to deal with hackers, ruining matches, and more recently, wonky servers that have made it next to impossible to get into a match. Luckily, Activision recently fixed the Call of Duty multiplayer servers, making it possible for fans to jump back into the classic games. Call of Duty fans have returned to the 2009 Modern Warfare 2 and the first Black Ops especially, as it's now significantly easier to find matches both games. The player count is malfunctioning at the moment, so it's difficult to say how many Call of Duty fans have returned to these old school games, but it's enough that these players can safely relive the glory days. The downside is that some players have reported input delay when playing on Xbox Series XX consoles, so mileage may vary. It's unclear if this issue will get fixed, but with these Call of Duty games potentially coming to Xbox Game Pass, one has to imagine that a fix is a distinct possibility. While it hasn't officially closed, Microsoft does have the green light to complete the acquisition of Activision Blizzard. New Call of Duty games won't hit Xbox Game Pass on day one until the 2025 entry at the earliest, but the older Call of Duty titles could join lineup much sooner. No timetable has been announced, though, so fans should keep their expectations in a check when it comes to Activision published games like Call of Duty hitting Game Pass.
Motherfuckers are ready with that Game Pass, huh?
No shit.
They have all those like free 14-day, 1-month trials, and nobody cashes them in. And now that this is going to be there, a whole bunch of the motherfuckers are going to cash that in. Like,
yeah, imagine playing Xbox, like playing Modern Warfare 2 on fucking Game Pass. That'd be crazy.
Dude. That'd be interesting. That'd be
crazy.
The chance to play classic Call of Duty games could be enough for hardcore fans of the franchise to sign up for Game Pass, though, with Black Ops 2 still retailing for $50. Getting the old Call of Duty games back on Game Pass will add undeniable value to the service, but only if technical problems people have been running into are get ironed out. Regardless, Call of Duty fans may want to check out Modern Warfare 2 or Black Ops 1 this weekend because the servers are plenty populated right now, and it's possible the input delay issues are not universal. It may also be that third-party game controllers, which were really popular for a long time on the 360 and stuff like that, could be part of the issue.
No idea. But enough for old school hard diehard fans of Call of Duty to sign up for Game Pass now.
Maybe.
I fucking grew up with those games. I don't need to play them again or revisit them, bro. I'm fine. I've played them plenty. Okay. I played them very much.
There's another update literally 30 minutes ago.
With what?
Microsoft and Sony said today they have agreed on a deal after more than a year of failed negotiations. No details are available right now, though Sony rep told Axios that the arrangement will be for 10 years. Which means that for the next 10 years, Microsoft and PlayStation will be publishing on each other's platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Hey, that's good. That's great. Because taking games away from players is not what you want. You know?
Yeah. So this is going on and going hard, man. Like this is being updated. Like this was 40 minutes ago.
Nice.
So I mean, like, hey, 10 years, take what you can, right? Though.
Mm-hmm.
Like how the fuck are you gonna look that in the mouth and go no? So I mean, this is cool. I'm like I said. What's really going to be interesting for like somebody like me who likes to watch this kind of stuff is all the legal ramifications that are going to come of it. And also who the fuck is going to get stuck with the court costs, because this is all very expensive to do. Probably so Sony. Like,
probably they're, the Sony. They're the ones that are dragging it on, dude. They're the ones that are like, block this and block that and do this. And I'm pretty sure they're going to be like, listen, bitch, you want to waste the taxpayers' money like that? Here you go. Here's the check. Here's the fucking bill. You know,
I think what's going to be really interesting in the end is, will Sony use that loss of revenue to try to bully Microsoft into more exclusivity bullshit? Like everything, all the DLC coming to PlayStation before it hits Xbox. Like, I'm pretty sure that's gone. That's out the window.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure, like, you know, having stuff like the DLC dropping on PlayStation first, I'm pretty sure all that's gone.
The double XP on PlayStation for the first weekend, and then everybody else gets it 3 days later. Like, yeah, it's so stupid.
So
that shit's gonna be gone. Thank fucking God.
And the servers also not being PNP servers, but actually being hosted servers is gonna be also an issue.
Yeah, it's gonna be weird. Yeah,
I mean that's gonna fix a lot though. That's gonna fix a lot.
But we can only hope it will. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we can only hope it will. You're right. But, you know, I got hope.
I don't know what the fuck is going to happen, bro. Like, for real. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We have no idea. Sit here. All right, I guess Patreon updated their front page. So with that said, though, we're gonna get the fuck out of here, and we're wishing this goes through, and we're in support of the writer's strike. So I think that's the end of the show. I really gotta fix that audio. Anyways, I want to thank Paul Schroyer and the Magic Scroll Network for keeping us on and keeping us going, because without them, this show would not exist. And even though we're on our last legs here, we're still very happy and very proud to be doing this. We have over 200 episodes. I don't know. Did you know that?
I had no idea. That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, we have over 200 episodes now.
Nice.
We've lasted so much longer than most podcasts. And
same, like six people have listened to all 200 of those episodes.
I'm good with it. Yeah, really, we've been downloaded over 8,000, 10,000 times, I think it was now.
Sick.
So, I mean, that's fucking awesome. But if you want to help us out, and we hope you do, if you want to get some stickers, you guys should have your stickers already. I sent them out a while ago. So if you want to help us out, go to patreon.com/VT Network, where we have $1, $3, and $5 tiers. At the $5 tier is where you want to be. Access to the monthly movie roasts, access to the post show every Wednesday, your name read out loud at the end of every episode, producer credits, stickers every month, the giveaway every 3 months. Our next giveaway here is in 4 days. A minute with DJ, because I got to push him to get that. And I don't know if Gimby's still doing his Moment of Zen. I haven't checked on it. But if he's not, I'm going to beat him. So there's Patreon.
Is he part of the show still?
Yeah. Patreon.com/VT Network. Go check it out. Also, if you want to get a hold of us, that is VT Network 2 on all the socials. We do post semi-regularly. You know, I'm kind of running everything by myself. So I'm doing my best to juggle it all. But if you don't want to do the monthly thing, you want to do just a one-time purchase, you can head to vtnetwork.redbubble.com and check out all the designs we have on there. Latest one, of course, being the Viva VTN sticker/design that I did. And all of this is available on t-shirts, phone cases, you know, the whole pitch, bath mats, cat mats, t-shirts, hoodies, laptop sleeves, phone cases. tapestries, comforters in case you want to sleep with us. We'll keep you warm at night. Mm-hmm. And fucking socks, Mustard's favorite thing.
Hell yeah.
So once again, that is vtnetwork.redbubble.com. And if you purchase more than $7, you can submit a gross video to vtnetwork84@gmail.com and try to make me puke in the post show. So far, nobody's been able to do it. And I'm kind of proud of that. But I also want to thank the producers of our little show, that is Lofus, the Raging Caucasian, Cheyenne, Grave Robber, Carol, Sherry Finks, Mike fucking Smith, and Gibby himself. So thank you guys so much for your continued contribution. I hope you got your stickers already. If not, get in contact with me. But with all that said, we're going to get the fuck out of here and go to the post show. So say goodnight, Mustard.
Goodnight, Mustard.
Sounds so blasé about it. Give me a good one.
Goodnight, Mustard.
All right, that works.